I think it might be underscore.
John, are you going to kind of guide the group through this?
I am. Good morning, everyone. I am getting a message from Zoom that I cannot start my video because the host has stopped it. So I'm wondering if it's not essential that I have video turned on, but I was going to see if there is a way I might be able to share my...
Let me see if I can... Okay.
I have the same.
Who can start sharing? Someone else? All panelists. Okay. Try now. See if that helps.
Unfortunately, it does not. So it's not critical that I have video. I just want to make sure I'll be able to share my screen at some point, though I'll be able to talk through it either way. So let me just test that. That looks like it's working okay.
Can you try it again? So I've allowed access to...
No, I still get the same message.
It says, who can share? I put all panelists. Who can start sharing when someone else is sharing? All panelists. So I've given everybody authority.
AJ, this isn't sharing screen. This is the ability to turn on our video.
Oh, turn on your video. Oh, sorry. That's probably something I didn't do. Let me try that. Sorry, I was probably hitting the wrong section.
It's all good.
As you can see, I'm trying right now. Panelists. There we go. That button was not clicked. Try now, everybody.
Much better.
There we go.
Thanks, AJ.
Lovely.
Mine's still not doing it. I'm able to detect the camera.
So I can get us started just while we're getting all our technology worked out, but definitely just please speak up or otherwise make yourself known if there's anything we can assist with. I know we'll probably have a couple people joining us throughout the course of this meeting. One request I was going to make is if we have Ellen Currier join us today, if she could be added as part of this group. If she joins us, if she could be moved from the attendees to the panelists list.
No problem for her.
Great, appreciate that. So I also just want to make mention, I received a message from our committee chair / president, Pete Barron. He's unfortunately need to be unexpectedly out for purposes of this meeting today. However, we don't have any action items that we need to take. This is going to be a materials review, so I'm not worried about his absence today. We'll need to make sure that we have our full group together when we finally put forward a recommendation for the LTD board. However, I just want to make mention, he will likely not be able to join us today, though if possible, I think he may try and squeeze in time for me. It's just some unexpected issues that come up that's going to prevent his participation, I think. So what I was going to do is just lead everyone through materials review, because we now have all of the application materials that we'll be using as part of this group's work. And so just giving everyone a lay of the land. And so the main purpose of today's meeting is just to ensure that all the committee members have access to the application materials and know what to do with them. So we posted them onto our website. So they're part of the packet for this committee's meeting. So from the ltd.org events calendar, For this meeting, you'll see that there's a couple of links for attachments. Don't worry, you don't have to have these read in advance. It's a lot of material. Just wanted to let people know that it's available. And this is essentially the start of our period where we're going to be asking committee members to begin reviewing this information. So we've got a dozen applications for programs ready for your review. Now, I had mentioned at the last meeting that the fortunate news is that despite all the turmoil and unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in the world in right now, we anticipated essentially flat funding for the upcoming biennium. However, what is going to be new information for this meeting is that we've received applications and they are for more funds than we have available. So that means the committee is going to have some difficult decisions ahead of it. And part of my job and role is to make sure that everyone feels prepared going into those meetings to be able to do that. So I'll get right to the point. If we fully funded every application at the full level they've requested, we'd be short approximately $915,000. So we'll be relying on this committee to help develop recommendations that can normalize this gap. So LTD will certainly provide opportunities and suggestions for areas the committee might consider some cost efficiencies and plans to do its part to help balance the budget within our own programs. But what we're asking committee members to do is to read each application and familiarize yourselves with the general asks and programs while we schedule short presentations from each applicant. So some of those presentations will be done by LTD staff, and some are going to be by program providers who have submitted their own applications. So we are asking committee members to be prepared to ask questions and to be able to score, rank, or otherwise prioritize funds for these projects so we can put together a recommendation for the LTD board. To help you with this, I've included in the materials for this meeting a sample scoring sheet and summary. So now you don't have to use this sheet specifically, but it's an example of how you can organize all this information. What I do need you to be able to do is to communicate the areas where you want to prioritize or not prioritize using these grant funds for the upcoming biennium. So I'll get into more detail on that here in just a minute. Guiding this committee's work is the LANE coordinated plan. So this tells us how to rank priorities for purposes of serving older adults and people with disabilities in the area. So we've gone over this in some detail at our last meeting, and I'd suggest making sure that you are well familiar with this document in time for the presentations. I'm going to summarize the critical portions here now. So the current plan identifies three main priorities in this order. First, and the top priority is to maintain sustainable service levels of viable operations to ensure transportation services and connections remain at a sustainable level for people who depend on public transportation services in Lane County. So essentially, our top priority from our transportation plan is to be able to continue the services which we already have in place to maintain them. Second, once the top priorities have been served, the coordinating plan notes to respond to growth within existing services, so allowing for measured increases where demand points to an unmet need within the available resources. So that's essentially to allow for growth and expansion in services that already exist. And then third, after the other two priorities have been served, to respond to emerging community needs, take action on opportunities to optimize coordination, develop new partnerships, and to accommodate newly identified transportation needs and gaps. So that's essentially just to begin new services or new opportunities for transportation within the area. So in an attempt to be helpful, as part of the meeting materials, I've included a spreadsheet that shows all the applications, how much they're asking for, and how much the program cost in the prior biennium. So hopefully that will help make it clear where there have been any changes from the current biennium to the upcoming future biennium. So I'll be the first to say that the spreadsheet is a bit big and complicated, and virtually all the programs have their own unique circumstances that can make it challenging to compare apples to apples. So that's why we're planning to have opportunities for presentations. to help explain the application materials in more detail and to give you all opportunities to ask questions. So I can give you a heads up that as staff, what I've noticed as being different from some prior years, and let me see if I can share my screen here just to give you an idea of what this spreadsheet looks like. All right, let's see, is that viewable? Do I need to zoom that in for anyone?
Yes, I can't see it.
Let's see, is that a little bit better?
No, there, that's better.
Great. So this is intended just to give an idea of summarizing what you'll see in the application materials themselves. What we have is a list of the agency that provides the service in this column here, title of the project themselves, and I can pull up a sample just to go through what to expect. And I know that most members of this community have done this work before, but I also know it's been a couple years since we've all done this. So I just want, I'm trying to go through both quickly, but also thoroughly just to make sure that everyone has a refresher on what this process is like. So I've included columns that show the amount that we had budgeted as part of this current biennium. So what we're spending right now on these programs here in this column. And then it shows, it starting in the green column, the amount requested purely from for these grants that we're looking at for the upcoming biennium. And then in sandwiched in between those is the percentage change between the white and green column. So from now until the projected future, what's the percentage change if we were to fully fund the ask in the application materials? So I also then break out, because there's portions that were being asked for as part of LTD's grant funds, and then in some applications, not all, partner agencies or through other means were able to contribute additional funds. Those are included to add up to a total project cost. So someone might ask for a certain portion in grant funds, but then put forward some of their own money. So the overall project may be considerably more expensive than just the portion that we're being asked to provide for. And we'll talk about it in note anytime that that comes up. So then there's also, I've got some areas where we'll start to incorporate changes at this committee's level to start to move towards a recommendation before the LTD board. And so here we can see I've got the 5310 formula fund portion that we're anticipated to receive. I've added up the portions, and I've kind of as staff been able to divvy up the ask between the amount that we could potentially allocate between 5310 and STF. And it shows if we were to fully fund every application at its full level, we would be short the $915,661. And that'll be part of this committee's work to talk about how we're going to move towards kind of a more neutral level for that. So I've also got all the different areas where we've had other ways of contributing funds, and I can describe some of those in more detail. And I just want to note, at least from a staff level, as you're going through applications, some things you might want to take notice of that are different in the upcoming biennium than we may have done in the past. So to start off with, I would note the application for RideSource ADA paratransit services is going to be more expensive than we've seen in the past. So we're anticipating increased paratransit usage, which comes at increased cost. In addition, when LTD creates opportunities for contracted services, so through a public bidding process typically, we're looking for the best value possible, meaning typically that we're trying to get the best possible service at the lowest possible price. Contractor changes could be major events, and LTD typically allows for a limited number of contract extensions before going back out for bid. And this often increases some cost increases over the life of the contract. So we're seeing both anticipated usage and anticipated cost expected through our RideSource ADA service. I also want to make note of the Rodi Express. This is our fixed route service in Florence. A portion of the anticipated increase here is contractual, as we will need to issue a contract extension, which was bid at an increased cost for the upcoming biennium. I also want to note we rely heavily on Formula 5311 funds to support the service. And in the upcoming biennium, those funds are projected to decrease by over 8.75%. Now, this committee isn't charged with allocating 5311 funds. It historically has used STF funds to match these 5311 funds. Since we will have less 5311 funds to work with, there's a request to use additional STF funds to maintain the same level of service. So I just wanted to make note of that as you read the applications. For the Diamond Express service, this is a service between Oak Ridge and the Eugene metropolitan area. A portion of this projected increase is contractual, as there's going to need to be another contract extension, which was bid at an increased cost for the upcoming biennium. I wanted to note that LTD has applied for STIF discretionary funds to help offset these costs, which due to its low match rate could come at a potential savings from what is reflected on the spreadsheet. However, this is extremely competitive funding and we can't count or rely on receiving it. And we won't know the results of that application in time for this committee to finalize its decisions. Historically, the service has been supported by what's known as 5311F funds, which while also being a competitive grant has a much higher match rate, meaning a large amount of STF funds are required to maintain the same level of service. That's reflected in the application materials. I also want to note that in the South Lane operations ask, the city of Cottage Grove has made some requests for some new purchases and services. So this includes a new vehicle and anticipating new demand response services outside of Cottage Grove once their transit demand plan is expected to be completed in July. One area where we might be able to create some efficiencies is that LTD recommends use of our own separate direct disbursement funds to purchase vehicles, meaning we'd only need to use the committee's pool of grant funds for match and not for the entire vehicle purchase. So that's something we can discuss as we get towards the presentation portions. Yes.
Actually, that bus request is a replacement vehicle for the LTD connector.
Yes.
Not for any future service.
Understood. So we can.
So it's an exist service.
Yes. So we'll be able to get into details of all of these programs are going to have some unique and interesting circumstances, which we'll need to discuss. And so we've set aside time for us at a committee level to go through presentations and go through kind of all the details and discuss ways that we might be able to have these all fit together. But I just kind of wanted to note some general categories of areas where, as committee members, you might notice, hey, why is this more than we saw the prior to biennium? So those are just some things to be mindful of as you go through and read these for the first time. Some services cost more over time just due to things like inflation. So as prices go up over time. So I'll give an example. We estimate that vehicle preventive maintenance costs a little bit more every single year. And we factor that into the application materials. And I'll use that as an example we can look at together here in a minute. So that's the summary of the spreadsheet. Basically, this is just trying to take the information that's in the applications themselves, put it all in one place so that you can do some kind of quick comparisons, understanding that these are not easy programs to really do apples to apples comparisons to, but just wanting to see like, what are the dollars in all the applications? So you're not having to open a dozen different attachments just to do some quick comparison. So just noting that this is just one of those tools to try and be helpful. I want to see if there are any questions on kind of how to decipher all this information. I know there's a lot here. We use something similar for the last couple of bienniums. And so this may look fairly familiar to you just with updated information involved. And so I just wanted to check if there are any questions on how to read or organize this before I move forward. No shame in asking for more clarification on any of this. And
yeah, I don't remember what STF out is.
Yes, good question. So This is more of an internal distinction that I use for my purposes, but the amount of SDF allotment we receive. So we're expected to get about $1.7 million in SDF funds. So I've combined that into what's called SDF in and SDF out, or here it's just called SDF and SDF out. And what that really means is in our metropolitan area or in district and out of area or out of district, meaning rural services. Now, the kind of the way to think about this is similar to, I think, if anyone has followed the STIF committee, the similarly named STIF committee's work. When people pay taxes from a variety of different areas that go into these funds, we're essentially looking to provide services that meet the needs of people where they live. And so the state estimates that approximately 16% of the funds that go into this pot of STF money comes from outside our general metropolitan area. And so we generally look to spend approximately the same amount outside or in rural areas, which we're calling STF out. And so for our purposes, typically the way that I've or we've looked at that, there's some programs that kind of straddle that line a little bit. There may be some that provide both in and out of area services. But the Diamond Express and the Roadie Express are typically seen as kind of serving rural areas for us or outside of our typical boundaries. And so that usually gets us to that 16% kind of threshold that ODOT looks to us to ensure that for that we're not just using all of these funds in one concentrated area, that we're trying to spread it out so that folks have a kind of equitable opportunity for transportation. Doesn't necessarily mean that everyone has access, but it means that we're trying to be equitable in how it gets distributed throughout Lane County. So that's a really good question. But I keep that separate just kind of for my own purposes to make sure that we're roughly making sure that we're within those kind of boundaries. Other questions just on this spreadsheet or the information in here, how to read it? This isn't the only time you'll have to ask that, but I just know that there's so much here, and in particular because it's been a minute since we've gone through this, that if there were things that were going to be helpful just as far as being able to organize the applications and score or rank them, that we can get off to a good start. All right, so with that, I would say one other thing I wanted to show is the scoring sample tool. So let me pull that up as well here. Everybody see this okay? It should be our sample score sheet. So it's got three pages to it. One is to summarize the requests themselves. One's to make any notes or comments that you may have. And finally, a ranking sheet. Now, the first page is just a reminder of the priorities set forth in the Lane Coordinated Plan. So I'd recommend just making sure that you're well familiarized with the plan itself, but this is kind of a cheat sheet to make sure that the top three priorities identified in the plan are front and center as you're evaluating these applications. The second, and also just to do, I can never do enough, just a really quick refresher. First, maintain service. Second, grow existing services. Third priority, support new services. The comments section can be a good place to make notes or prepare questions you might have when you're reading through the applications so that they'll be fresh when we have each applicant here for the presentations and Q&A. Because if you're going through a dozen of these, it's easy to kind of lose track of what's what and just making sure that you have everything organized in a way so that when we're going through these presentations and have Q&A sessions with each applicant, you'll be well prepared and reminded of the things you wanted to know or get additional clarifications or information about from these applicants. So We also have the last page as a way to remind yourself of your preferred order to rank the applications or programs in case we're making any decisions between having to fund between two different programs. So if you have preferences or priorities, it's just a way for you to help keep track of that so you're not having to do it on the fly. Now, as I mentioned, these aren't, this isn't a homework assignment. This is merely a tool for you to help organize this information. What I need of committee members is to be able to clearly communicate your preferences and to be able to have questions ready as part of the presentation process. So it does have ways where you can use this as a numerical scoring tool to keep track and better organize this data, but that's really for you to be able to better sort through all of these applications. At the committee member level, what we're going to be doing is looking for wholesale recommendations on how we allocate this funding. And so part of that will, I think, naturally develop as part of our conversations and Q&A, but I want this just to be one way of organizing it. If you have a better way of doing it for yourself, if you have a system in place that you prefer to be able to keep track of all this, please, by all means, use that. So, but I just wanted to make sure that for anyone who wanted to make use of an existing tool, that we made one available. So with all that, the hard work begins and everyone has plenty of homework reading through these applications. So I was going to open one up just to kind of show what that looks like now that they're all available, and then make sure we have a few minutes available for any questions that folks might have. And then we'll be able to adjourn after that. So I put just a simple one, or hopefully simple, our preventive maintenance application available for your review. So you'll notice that there's similar and distinct sections in each application. First just kind of shows who's involved. And so this is one in which Link Transit District put forward its own application. And in short, what it is it we have a fleet of vehicles that serves older adults and people with disabilities. And for many of those, we're leasing them to our partner agencies. So they're being used for many of these other programs that you'll see applications for. And they just need to be maintained, whether it's oil changes, tire rotations, something gets damaged or broken, needs to be replaced. If there's engine tune-up, body work that needs to be done, that all kind of goes into this preventive maintenance budget. So we estimate the amount. And for us, we do that on a per vehicle basis. So we count the number of vehicles we have. We estimate how much it costs per vehicle per year to maintain it. And then we put forward that as our recommendation for a budget. And I mentioned this is one of those things where we do a small increase every year, just kind of accounting for inflation. And so for us, that's an additional $200 per vehicle per year. And so we've calculated that in. And you can see here we've checked vehicle preventive maintenance. But if somebody was going to say request a vehicle, they would check vehicle. If they wanted, say, operations, they would, meaning providing some kind of service, they would check here. And so we've got the broad categories for each kind of program listed in the top of the application. And then from there, you're going to get a description of what it is that that program does and what the agency does for the community. In many of these applications, it's going to note how many rides or how many people with disabilities or older adults are served by that particular program. So that can vary. It often depends on the portion of the community served. So like, for example, Roadie Express operates within the Florence city limits. So their kind of customer base or clientele is gonna be residents of Florence or tourists typically. Whereas somebody that was operating in the Eugene metropolitan area, it would be that kind of whole Eugene Springfield population, or if it was all of Lane County, it could be the population of Lane County, as well as kind of the number of rides they might expect. So even if they serve a large geography, it might be a small portion of rides that actually get provided. So below that, we ask everyone to estimate their budget. And so this is basically expenses and resources. So how much money does it cost? And then how much money is coming in? Now, this one's pretty simple in that we're asking for it to be entirely grant funded as it has been historically. And you can see that kind of little rise over time. Each year, there's a little bump accounting for inflation or increases year over year as things tend to cost more. And so these are the how much we expect it to cost. And here's how much we expect to use in grant funds. And those equal each other out. Now, if in some of these applications, you'll see that applicants are looking to provide their own funds or match using other funds that they have available or otherwise providing resources. And so those will get listed as kind of these other revenues or resources. So you might see like, you know, City of Florence contributes a portion each year towards the service, and that offsets the cost. So even though the program might cost a certain amount, the amount that is being requested in grant funds is actually lower than that because additional funds are being able to be contributed. But overall, the total project costs and the total project resources should be equaling each other, or there should be a good explanation. And certainly make sure to ask questions if those things don't seem to add up or don't make sense. And certainly, as I mentioned, there's a lot of unique circumstances that we'll discuss for each program that really gets into how things get paid for and what they truly cost. And then there's usually some supplementary information, which can include things like certifications and assurances, budgets, documents, things like that. So those are all included for your convenience. So this is just one sample application. It's one of the shorter ones, so that's why I wanted to use it as an example. Some of them are going to be fairly extensive, so I just wanted to make sure that folks felt comfortable going through quite a bit of information. We've got a dozen of these things, as well as some supplementary attachments. So when there have been fairly long budget documents, I've had those attached separately. And I believe on the ltd.org website, we have these all split into two large attachments for your review, because they do get fairly large when they all start getting put together. So with all that, that kind of takes us to a period where we can take some time if anyone has any questions, and just also know that I'll remain available throughout this month if something comes up where I can either help provide clarification or additional information. So I just don't want anyone to be shy on letting me know if anything would be helpful. So with that, I just wanted to open it up if there's any questions about kind of what the expectations are of committee members, what the review process is going to be like before we get into the presentation portion.
I have a question about the attached budgets, you know, sort of what the expectation is in terms of what we're looking at or looking for in those budgets. I'm guessing it would be different for each of them, but if there is an extensive budget information given to us, it's going to be hard to digest all of that. So some guidance might be helpful.
Yes. So that's a great question. Thank you. And one of the primary reasons why we ask for backup and supplementary budget information is to essentially ensure the financial security of the projects that are being applied for. And a big part of that is back on LTD. And so one of the things that's really convenient about this particular biennium is that every single applicant is someone that LTD has an extensive history and working relationship. A large portion of us asking for budget information is intended to be that if someone new who we had never worked with or a very small agency were to come forward with an application or ask, do they have sufficient resources to really get to the finish line to accomplish what they're applying to do? So I would say in this particular biennium, that is of less concern in that we have strong working relationships and we have current agreements with every single applicant. And so we have gone through this process with each of these applicants before and found them to be sufficient in the past. So they are included as part of the application process, not knowing that everyone is encouraged to apply, and that can include partners who we haven't worked with before. But I would say in this case, it's provided more for additional information rather than anything that might necessarily hinge on a substantive decision on this committee. So they are included in the application material. So I've, where appropriate, made sure to pass on any additional information, but I wouldn't worry or stress too much about there being a lot of additional supplementary budget information. The part that I would focus on is the applications themselves show the expenses and the resources for the projects, and making sure that those add up and make sense and feel clear to each committee member. So, and where they don't, and I'll suggest that they likely won't always for every application, every committee member, that's our opportunities to ask questions during the presentation period. So great question, thank you.
How soon will the end?
Hi, Hoover.
How soon will the meetings go, the presentations?
Yes, we've got some time set aside, so let me pull that up here. So we had set aside several meeting dates in January, which can include plenty of time for presentations. On the one hand, how I'm preparing around this is I'm feeling like we can have a fairly streamlined process in that I don't think we're going to need an hour for each presenter. These are all folks that we've heard presentations from in the past. Most of these programs are going to be very familiar, I think, to all of us and to the committee. We're not really seeing a lot of new information in these materials, so I'm thinking we can do them for shorter periods of time. And so you may recall, for folks that have done this work in the past, we've had some pretty lengthy meetings throughout January, and last biennium, that got further compounded by some snow events, which caused us to have to be a little bit more flexible with our timeline. But my experience is that we can generally get through those probably in a quicker way than we've done in the past. And so I'm going to recommend that we potentially have some shorter time for presentations. Again, relying on committee members just to be well prepared with questions so that we can be efficient with our time. And we've got a few dates set aside for January. So I was just going to pull those up now. Hang on.
Okay.
Let's see. So what we're looking at is, hold on just a moment, getting that in front of me.
Okay. Oh, capture.
Yeah, sorry, I was late.
Oh, no apologies needed. I'm glad we were able to get technology worked out for so many folks. I've gotten a couple messages from folks that screen sharing isn't viewable to everyone. And so I'll just make sure that we can email this back out to everyone, including with our timeline for our upcoming meetings here. I was just trying to pull that up here.
Just tell me right now.
So our next meeting is going to be scheduled January 12th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And I am going to reach out to all of our applicants to start scheduling time. I don't anticipate that'll probably be the only day that we need or use for presentations. And so I'm just going to offer non-LTD applicants kind of first preference on whatever they need. And then we'll just fill in around their availability. So I feel like we should be able to have a fairly streamlined process that way. And that's similar to what we've done in prior bienniums. And so I'll do my best to be flexible around the timelines of our applicants, but also just making sure they have sufficient time to describe their programs and answer any questions. But please make sure to be prepared if possible for our January 12th. And as soon as I have confirmations on which presentations we'll have during that time period, I'll make sure that committee members are made aware so that you can prioritize reading those applications first. That's a good question. Thank you.
So, John?
Yes.
The titles of projects on the spreadsheet are different from what's on the applications. So are we going by the project names on these applications, and you'll update the spreadsheet?
Can do. I think oftentimes I'm shorthanding a little bit just to try and keep the spreadsheet from getting really big, because it quickly starts to do that. But I can absolutely make some edits or changes to that to make that more clear whenever it's helpful. I'm also just kind of being in the middle of that work. That's going to be good feedback for me. If something doesn't seem like it matches the application itself, I can make that more clear. So just a heads up to me, I'll absolutely make whatever edits are going to make sense for the committee.
Yeah, I just want to make sure there's consistency, so that as we're talking about projects, that we're identifying them correctly and not mixing names and titles and what's involved with the difference between this year and previous years.
Yeah, of course. And
sounds good to me.
I imagine a lot of this will be coming up and made clear when putting together a spreadsheet like this. Every program kind of has its own little unique quirks and features. And so just getting it all smooshed in the same way in the same spreadsheet can be a little bit of a challenge, but it's just my attempt to try and make that clear. And my hope is that as you're going through each application from each applicant, it should hopefully be fairly obvious which line matches up to each application. And if it doesn't, I'll absolutely want to know about that so I can make some changes and edits. During our presentations, as those are scheduled, I will make sure that can be extremely clear to everyone which ones we have scheduled at which time. It's a good question. Thank you. Good feedback.
I just want to add that if anyone is having any problems accessing any of the information, so what we know is that we are in a new world. It's been new to us for about 8 months, but it seems like it's constantly changing. So if there's any problem, or if we can provide the information in any alternative way that can help you work through the information and better understand it, please don't hesitate to ask. Reach out to John and he's happy to help you.
Yep. Absolutely. And I know this has been a lot of me talking, but I want to acknowledge you're going to be the ones doing all the hard work on this and how much that's appreciated. This is not an insubstantial amount of reading and kind of coordination that's going to need to take place over the course of the next month. So just how appreciative I and LTD are just of everyone's efforts to be able to participate in this. Because it's so important and how directly these programs are serving our community and our older adults and people with disabilities who rely on these services that are being provided. So just my kudos to everyone who's doing this work at the committee. Any other thoughts, questions, comments, or feedback before we wrap up for the day?
So I'll just ask who's the person who's been added to the committee?
You'll have to let me know who that is. I'm not aware that we have anyone new.
Oh, so who did you say at the beginning of this?
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, so Ellen. Yes, thank you for reminding me. So Ellen Currier is an employee at Lane Council of Governments. And so we've typically always just extended an invitation for them to be at the table and participate, but not as a voting member, just merely to provide some kind of additional information. If there's questions, as part of their role as kind of our local MPO organization, that we can rely on them just as a providing some additional subject matter expertise. We've always just extended that invitation if they wanted to join us. So I just want to make sure that they could be available and represented as need be, but they are not a voting committee member.
Okay. And since all of you have participated before with the last biennium, you will hopefully recognize Ellen because she did represent the same role with our last process. So hopefully she'll be recognizable to you all.
Good question. And this is going to be a different way for us all to be able to participate. But I guess from my own perspective, one advantage is that if it does snow, I'll still be here. So I'll do my best to. We'll see how it goes. What I'm told
that's
is that
January
could be a bit of a weather month, so we'll see. Unless there were any other feedback, questions, or comments, and do you know that's this isn't the only opportunity. I was going to adjourn us for the day. I know everyone has plenty of homework to do. I would say feel free to get started. I wouldn't recommend waiting till the last minute because there is quite a bit to read through, but you'll get back in the swing of things quickly. I think it'll be a pretty good reminder and refresher, and a lot of this should feel very familiar to what we've done 2 years ago. And so once we dive back in, I think it'll start to click and make a lot of sense to everyone. All right, then with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting and thank everyone for your time today.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, I was going to sign off unless there was anything else.
Good job, John.